So this morning we're going to be looking at caution during peculiar times. During the time of prayer, I did mention about a bit about the COVID-19, and we are all aware of what's going on, how this pandemic had affected the whole world, crippling every system of humanity, from medicine to economy to the school system. Think of it. Anything that one can think of, it's affected every aspect of our lives. And the striking thing about it is that because it's a peculiar time, we see government all over the world taking peculiar definitive stance and strategies, notwithstanding the cost. It's amazing how some countries were on total lockdown, no going out, no coming in, just to keep virus under control, to save lives, to prevent destruction. And if we think about it, it's no wonder that our Lord Jesus Christ, being aware of some unique times ahead to come, hinted us and told us things we should be mindful of. So this morning, it's going to be a long scriptural reading, but if you have your Bible or your electronics, you can turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said to them, "See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down." And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, "Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the signs of thy coming and of the end of the world?" And Jesus answered and said to them, "Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, 'I am Christ,' and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nations shall rise against nations, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famine and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. And all these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whosoever readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall be great tribulations, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days shall be shortened, there shall no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake those days shall be shortened. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and shall shew great signs and wonders, insomuch that, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east, and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there shall the eagles be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heaven shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Now, learn a proverb of the fig tree. When its branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when you see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so also the coming of the Son of Man. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Events happening around the world had made it clearer and more evident than before that our Lord is coming and will be around at any time. What we don't know the hour, we don't know the day, but clearly we see the writing all around us. And it's all fully displayed. And soon, and very soon, we'll see him appearing to take us home. Now, as I read through this saying of our Lord unto his disciples, I began to ponder on the days of Noah. and making a contrast with where we are now. And some things popped out. One is that in the days of Noah, as the Lord clearly highlighted, people were all consumed with themselves. They were marrying, they were enjoying themselves. It was all about me, 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 me. And if we look around us now, it's not any different. It's all been egocentric. It's about us. It's about us. Men, according to the scriptures, have now become lovers of self rather than lovers of God. We are forbidden to talk about God in places because it is not professional, it is not ethical. That's not what you're paid to do. So much so that even schools, things are being turned around now. Yet, in the same token, when we're being told, oh no, you can't talk about, you can't lay so much emphasis about Christ, and, you know, we're in a culture of diversity, right? It's offensive. How will those who belong to this group feel? How will those who belong to that group feel, right? And that's what we're seeing happening all around. Yet, in the same token, though, we can talk about things that should be adult things. I'm going to talk in code this morning because we have young ones around us. Should be adult things. We're free to talk to kids. I know that in some areas they are even saying that start talking about those things even from grade one or so that they understand, right? Yet we can talk about the love of God for mankind. Many a times, and I'm not going to shy away from that fact, I have to act wisely when I provide services to my clients. I have to trust the guidance of the Holy Spirit in terms of wisdom as to how to present things. That is the world we're in now. And those are some of the warnings the Lord hinted us of. That when you see all these things happening, know that I am there and will be appearing anytime. And again, looking at trying to, because it struck me, why did he choose to talk about the time of Noah, right? Interestingly, though, during all of this, in the time of Noah, and even now, as we all know, the grace of the Lord abounds. His grace abounds. Believe you me, I've read the story of Noah many times. But the aspect of the grace never really didn't strike me as much until the last, I'm talking of the grace of the Lord on Noah, until the last few days. And I'll just go to Genesis again. Genesis chapter 6. If we look at the the 8th verse. And the Bible said, but Noah found grace in the eyes of God. Before then, there was the description of how terrible things were around him. You know, the sinful nature of man and how that had drawn them away from the Lord. But then, this popped up. Noah found grace. 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 The same grace you and I, to the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ, have found. That same grace, what separated Noah. It hadn't got to do with his works. There wasn't any mention about Noah's works before then. It was grace. Even as we are saved by grace through faith. But beyond that, again, another thing popped out. In verse 9, the scripture started with, and these are the generation of Noah. Then there was a little pause. Hold on, before we go there, there is something more important than talking about the generation of Noah that I need to share with you. There is something much more important that comes out that will preserve Noah and will help him, you know, to utilize that grace effectively. Don't let's just jump to his generation, because I was thinking, when the Bible said, and these are the generations of Noah, I thought it was going to start listing A, B, C, D. But no, that didn't happen. And the Bible said, Noah was a just man and perfect in his generation and walked with God. He walked with God. Our righteousness, they are but filthy rags before the Lord. No matter how hard we try, we wouldn't measure up to his standard. One thing he desires of us, though, is to keep walking in him. Just the way we are doing. To keep walking in him, walking with him. Opening up to fellowship with him. That's the key thing with Noah walking with the Lord. He opened up to fellowship with the Lord. Even in this day and age, where men, though professing to be godly, are denying the power thereof. The thing that will set the elect aside is that fellowship with the Lord. Because then it becomes no more of me. With our fellowship with the Lord, it becomes the life I live no more of my own accord. But it's Christ who lives through me. It is him that willeth it and empower me to will and do according to his good pleasure. It is all about God. It is all about him. During this period, as we count down, we should become more conscious and more alert to that fellowship with him, longing to see him face to face knowing fully well that by the time we see him appearing, we will be like him. So, during this period, what are the expectations of believers? What does the Lord expect of us? I want us to turn to the book of Colossians chapter 2. And I'll read verses 6 and 7. Colossians 2, 6 and 7. Verse 6 reads, "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him." There is no controversy for those who are in Christ. They are his. There's no controversy that when we said, "Lord Jesus, come into my life, I proclaim you Lord and Savior," that he honored that invite. But does it end there? No. We need to keep pushing on in him. This is not the time to relax. It reminds me of, I wasn't the best athlete in my younger days, but I still have some idea of things, how they play up. And for those of us who were into sports or who are into sports, you know that apart from being a good sportsman or woman, right, as the competition time approaches, you start thinking of the countdown, right? You start becoming more cautious of, oh, this is what I shouldn't eat. This is what I should eat. You start becoming focusing more on the time. Start thinking more and more and more of the event. Ideas, strategies starts popping in. And the way they flood your mind, 2 days, a day, to the competition is much stronger, really, than the way they would have done a month, 2 months before then. Our quest, our desire to enter into those mansions that our Lord Jesus Christ had gone to prepare for us, so that where he is, currently at the right side of the Father, that we may be also. That's the end game. And now that the signs are becoming apparent, stronger than ever, this is the time for each one of us to tighten our girdles. This is the time for us to remember and go back to our first love. This is the time for us to engage, to fortify our fellowship with him more than ever before. Why? Beyond us. It goes beyond us. Because even as that realization comes up to our mind, what a glory to be when on that day I don't turn up to be the lone ranger in my household enjoying the presence of the Lord. What a glory to be if in your household you are not the only person there enjoying his glory and presence. So it goes beyond us in terms of gearing up. A good example for us, I don't mean bringing politics into this, but I'm trying to be as practical as possible. A good example is what's happening in the States. As the election is approaching, each of the parties, they are thinking of strategies to gear up their base. This is the time, brethren, for us to gear up so that we can, and I'm not saying we haven't been, but that we can be, we can trust the Lord to use us as vessels to touch people around us that are yet to know Him. This is the time for us to sacrifice in the place of prayers. This is the time for us to fast, interceding for people, for the Lord's visitation on people around us. This is the time to desire giftings of the Spirit of the Lord that will speak unto others. We have become laid back in some areas. Some people even think that the giftings of the Spirit are no longer in existence. The prophetics, the healings, the words of knowledge, the words of wisdom, discernment of spirit. Brethren, a lot of people around are saying they are godly. A lot of people around are saying, oh, my way is the way to God. That the whole world is confused. For us as believers, this is the time to desire things from on high that will speak forth unto unbelievers and that will draw men unto God. Now, talking about this, how can we achieve? We've spoken about time to pray as we've never before, time to fast. And honestly, I'm a culprit in this as well. So delivering this speaks unto me. I remember as a young Christian where I have gone on 3 days fast, no water, no food. For what? It wasn't for, oh God, make me this or make me that. It was for spiritual growth. It was for spiritual manifestation. It was to be used as vessel of honor in the hands of the Lord, to touch souls that are perishing. Some of us here would have wailed and cried in the past on our knees, interceding not for our own needs, interceding for lives out there. Interceding for souls that are perishing. Brethren, I'm encouraging us. This is the time to regalvanize ourselves. This is the time to fire up again. This is the time to go beyond not just being there, saved, and being in the kingdom. The scripture clearly tells us about hierarchies in heaven. Crowns with stars. Brethren, this is the time to add more stars. Trust in the Lord. It's not by our power, lest we should boast, but trust in the Lord. This is the time where, just like Romans 12:12 reads, this is the time for us to have our mindset on things above, through the transformation of our mind. This is the time to watch and pray, as the Lord Jesus Christ had said. This is the time to watch and pray. Because when the master, just using the analogy he gave, right? I've seen homes where, like, God's, you know, coming from a less secured setting with less security system in place, where we don't have the privilege of having people like Matt to keep consciously and in a devoted manner keep watch over people, right? Where the issue of security falls onto each household. You know, when you talk of the master of the house watching and praying, he's going beyond himself. He's not just thinking of himself. He's thinking of the safety of others in his household. This is yet another wake-up call for us. We thank God for our salvation. We thank God for the great and wonderful things a lot of us are doing and are still doing. But what I'm saying, brethren, is that, as Paul said, I push aside the achievement of old. I press forward unto a higher mark. It's great, all that has been done. It's great, things that are still being done. But as much as the Lord increases us, if there are areas to build upon, to reach out to souls, this is the time. Yes, I know that the pandemic had affected attendance, but let's look around us. Let's look around us. Let's look at the chairs that are without the covers, right? This is the time to galvanize ourselves, to reach out there, to tell people more and more about the good news. Invite them. Get the place filled up. And many of us, as I said, are doing things behind the scene that some don't see. But you know what? For all we do, our rewards are waiting for us. I'm just encouraging us, brethren. It's time to fire up more and go out there. This era goes beyond us. Why I keep hammering goes beyond us is that we thank God we are already saved. We thank God we are committed. We thank God we are in faith. It goes beyond us. It goes into reaching out unto souls that are perishing. And as we long and as we consciously remind ourselves about the significance of this time, as we see it as like this is the last stretch to the finish line, I trust that the King of Kings and the Most High God who had called us will empower us and sustain us, that his holy name might be exalted. Amen.